بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. اللهم زدنا علما كثيرا وفقها في الدين وعملا متقبلا يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome beloved brothers, inshallah, to tonight's dars, inshallah. We ask Allah to make it beneficial for all of us, inshallah, help us to learn and understand much about the fiqh of the deen, inshallah ta'ala. As you know, we've been on Fridays, we talk about the fiqh of marriage. And the question comes up that if two people get married and one of them finds a defect, a physical defect in the other spouse, so what is the recourse in this case? What happens when two people get married and they find in the other spouse, one of them finds that there's a defect that prevents them from enjoying the marital relations? This is a question that the scholars, they ask. And Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, he was one of the great ulama in Damascus, he mentioned that any defect that is found in one spouse that prevents him or her from enjoying or benefiting from the marital contract, then this is sufficient grounds for the annulment of the marriage. Any defect that one spouse finds in the other, a physical defect that was not known about before the marriage, that defect is grounds for the spouse to request that the marriage be ended, whether the husband finds a defect in the wife or the wife finds a defect in the husband. So this is what Ibn al-Qayyim, he said, anything that one spouse, he or she finds appalling, something disgusting or something in the other spouse, some disease, some illness, or anything that prevents the full enjoyment between the two spouses, then this spouse can request to have the marriage cancelled out. And they said this by analogy. They gave an analogy that, say, in the past, when they had a person could purchase a slave. They had an amma or a slave woman. If the person who purchased the slave woman found some defect in her, he had the right to return her back to her owner. And so they say the marriage contract is similar to this. That if somebody, they get married and they find something, a defect that prevents the enjoyment of the marriage, they have the right to nullify that marriage contract. They drew this type of analogy. The marriage in Islam, it's an aqd, it's a binding contract that both parties, they have a right to have it annulled in the case where there is some sort of defect or something that prevents the spouses from enjoying one another. And we'll read the hadith, inshallah, about this. The hadith today is narrated by Sayyid ibn al-Musayyib, one of the great tabi'een. He narrated that Umar Ibn al-Khattab stated, or he gave the decree, قَضَى بِهِ عُمْرُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ فِي الْعِنِّينَ أَنْ يُؤَجَّلَ سَنَةً وَرِجَالُهُ ثِقَاتٌ. This hadith was narrated by Umar, or was narrated by Sayyid ibn Musayyib. He said that Umar ibn al-Khattab, he spoke about one of these specific cases. He said when a woman, she got married and she found that the husband was impotent. He was not able to have relations with the wife. So what did Umar, what was his decree in that case? He said that the husband should be given 1 year. That he should be delayed for 1 year before the case is brought, before the issue or the judgment is of separation. And so what, when we look at this hadith, We see what the ulama, they derive from the wisdom of Umar ibn al-Khattab. That when a woman, she got married and she finds that the husband has this defect, that he's impotent, then the woman has the right to raise this matter and to have to a judge. She has the right to complain to a judge. She doesn't have to stay in that marriage. If she finds that her husband cannot have relations, impotency, this is called عِنِّين in Arabic, then she can raise that to a judge. And actually, in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there was a woman, she was the ex-wife of Ra'fa, and she came to the Prophet ﷺ and she said, my husband, he has the illness like the sleeve of a thobe. She said, like, hudbat al-thawb, what she meant is that he cannot have the marriage relations. He's not able to have relations with her. So she complained to Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and so this was a right that a woman had to complain about in marriage. So what happens in this case? That a woman, she got married, and she finds this defect in her husband. She raises the issue to the judge, and this is what happened in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab. Now the judge, his responsibility is to investigate. As you know, a judgment cannot be made by listening to one party only. Both parties have to be listened to, and the real issue has to be arrived at. So the judge, he will look at the situation, he'll ask the husband, does he agree? Does he admit to this defect or not? If he agrees, and he says yes, that he has this defect, then Umar, he gave a judgment to wait 1 year. Wait an entire year before separation. What was the wisdom behind this? Waiting an entire year. The ulama, they say that the person who has this difficulty or this type of impotence, it could be due to the weather, the circumstances, the seasons. So that all four seasons can be tried. Perhaps it's caused by the heat of the summer. So in winter it might be different. Perhaps it's caused by the cold of the winter. So the summer would be better. Perhaps the cold and the heat, if it's balanced, then the person would have a change in his physical ability. So the wisdom, Umar ibn Khattab, he was telling us to wait an entire year before a judgment is made, not to rush the judgment. Because oftentimes this type of illness can be overcome or goes away after some time. So if the husband admits to it, then the judge has to delay 1 year before issuing the separation. If during that 1 year they have the relations, then the suit of the wife is cancelled out, because the problem has been overcome. So there's no more need to continue with the suit in front of the judge, or to continue with that matter. But after the year goes by and the husband still hasn't been able to have the relations, then the judge will separate between the husband and the wife. Now say the woman raises a case to the judge, and then he asks the husband and the husband denies it. Then what does one do in this case? You have to go with the wife. Any other? How do you know the wife is telling the truth? Maybe she just wants to have the marriage cancelled out.
Most of the time, men they will deny it.
Actually,
when we see patients, yes. Men they deny in the presence of the wife.
Yes. Well, the judge, he cannot, as in Islamic law, the judge cannot rule based upon his own knowledge, his own personal thinking or knowledge. He has to rule based upon the evidence presented to him. This is an important aspect of Islamic law. So what he would have to do in this case is to ask them to go to a specialist, a doctor who specializes in that field, and then the judge, whatever the doctor, whatever ruling he gives, that has to be accepted. If the doctor says there's no problem, then the suit is thrown out. If the doctor, he says yes, there is a problem, does the judge separate them immediately? Then he waits 1 year, right? He'll give him 1 year. If there is no specialist around, there's nobody who can investigate this matter, then in this case, the husband, he has to give an oath. He has to make an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that no, he doesn't have this problem. If he refuses to give the oath, then the word of the wife is accepted. This is the principle of Sharia, that al-bayyinatu al-mudda'i wal-yaminu al-man ankar. That whoever makes an accusation, they should bring the proof. If they are not able to bring any proof, then the one who's denying the accusation, he has to make an oath. Somebody says that, I say that Irfan, he owes me $1,000. So the judge will say, where is your proof? I don't have any proof, it's just word of mouth. So then the judge will ask Brother Irfan, do you agree or disagree? He says, no, I don't owe him. Then the judge will ask Brother Irfan to make an oath, I swear by Allah that I don't owe that money. So either I have to come up with a proof as the plaintiff, or the defendant, he makes an oath otherwise that he's denying that he doesn't owe that money. You see how it works in Islamic law? If I have a proof, then that's it. The judge will say, that's it, he has a contract. If I don't have any proof, then the judge will ask the defendant to make the oath. If the defendant makes the oath, then it is accepted in that case, because there's no other evidence. So in this case, for the woman, if they go to a specialist, and he says there is a problem, they wait a year. If there's no specialist, then the husband will make an oath. If he refuses to make an oath, then that means he's admitting that he has the problem, and then he's given a year from that point afterwards. Also, if the woman accepts the problem in the husband, then there's nothing wrong with that. She can be patient. She can say, I'll wait more time, or she can choose to keep the marriage, and she doesn't have to bring that issue in front of a judge. This is her right if she'd like to keep the marriage in that case. Also, we have another issue, which is that what if the husband or the wife cannot produce children? Say they're infertile. Say the husband, he's not able to produce children, or the wife is not able to produce children. Is that one of the defects that can cancel the marriage? Very good, very good. The scholars, they say that because the husband is giving the right of the wife, he's still providing for her and having the relations, but having the child is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not in the hands of the person. He cannot change what Allah decrees. It is Allah who gives the child, or the one who He gives who He wishes daughters, He gives who He wishes sons. Some people He leaves without children. So it's not a fault of the husband that would give her the right to cancel out the marriage. However, some ulama, a minority view, is they say that the right to be a parent or a mother is a general right in marriage. And this would be a right of a woman. If she wanted to have a child, the husband is not able to give her a child. So some of the ulama, they said this right of being a parent is part of a marriage, and she can ask to be divorced and marry somebody who can give her a child by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is a minority view, but the majority, they say that this is not the possession of the husband to give, so she couldn't cancel out the marriage.
What is interesting, the husband has respect.
Yes.
Like, he cannot make any terms.
Yes.
And that's permanent.
Right, right.
Is that kind of considered as a defect, and she has the right?
Right, right. As long as he's able to have the relations with her and provide her her rights, then the majority of the ulama, they say that she has no right to cancel the marriage.
In some patients, he cannot make any sperm, so they will not be able to father any child.
Right, right. But that's in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ulama, they say that having the children is not something that is a fault of the husband.
It's Allah's defect. It would be a defect in his case.
It's a defect, but it doesn't deny her the basic rights of having the spousal relationship and the food and the housing. These are the basic rights of the wife. Some of the ulama, they didn't consider the child from the basic rights that a husband has to give the wife, because that's not something in his possession. They considered that something separate. But if he's not able to have the relationship itself, then he's denying her a basic right of the marriage, and she can she can raise the issue with the judge. But the decree of having a child, as you know, is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so in this case, the majority of the ulama, they say that it's not a right for her to cancel the marriage. Also, we have one other issue, inshallah, before we finish, which is that what happens when there's other defects in the wife, for example. Say the husband, he tries to have relations with the wife, and she has an impediment that prevents him from having relations. This is also a grounds for the husband to ask the marriage to be cancelled due to that impediment in the wife. This is also something that we'll also talk about, inshallah, next time, inshallah ta'ala. So this is to summarize the issue. The defect that a husband or wife finds in the spouse is something that they can bring to a judge and have the marriage cancelled due to it. However, when it comes to impotency, it's not canceled right away because there could be some external factor that will go away through the seasons. What about if they're married and they had relations and then after some time the husband becomes impotent? Can the wife cancel, have the marriage canceled in this case? This, the ulama say, is a little bit different because they consider it like a sickness. Because he's not really impotent, it's a sickness that came. Just like if a husband became ill, can the wife just say, I want to divorce my husband, now he's ill? That's not her right. Because it's a sickness that people have that come and go. So it's not an inherent defect in the person. You see the difference? If the person, they get married, and right away, after a year, he's still not able to have relations. It's an inherent defect. But sicknesses come and go. This is something that all people will pass through. So even after some time, if the husband, he loses this ability to have relations with his wife, then the scholars say she should keep patient in that case. Because it's an illness and it might go away, or they could seek some means of removing that, some means of rectifying that illness in order that they get better. Inshallah ta'ala. Inshallah.
What about the husband disabled permanently?
Yes. The disability also is not in the hands of the husband, but he should, this is why they say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مُوَدَّةَ وَالرَّحْمَةَ. He's put the love and the mercy between one another. The ulama, they say the love between the husband and the wife is when they're healthy, when they're first married, they're beautiful. But what happens over time where the husband or the wife is not as beautiful as she was in the honeymoon? So what now, the muwadda maybe is not as strong, but then it comes the role of the rahmah, the mercy. The mercy is when times get tough, you know, when things are difficult, then we have to have rahmah for our spouses and vice versa. They have to, rahmah is a type of love, type of mercy that one does to overlook the faults of a person because of their weakness. They overlook it, they show them kindness due to their weakness. And so this is what one has to look at his spouse. If she's sick or he's sick, she has to try to have rahmah on their spouse in this case, inshallah ta'ala.
There are so many causes for the impotent. One of them is after marriage is called stress impotence.
No.
Which, as you said, it goes away after they know each other, and maybe in a year, maybe get better at any time. Maybe it's a seasonal effect. But stress of marriage itself, it has a big impact on it. And there is a difference between the psychological impotence and the physical impotence, where there is a physical problem with the organ itself. Or it could be some other inherited disease.
No.
So that will differentiate.
The psychological impotence could go away after some time. After some time getting to know one another. And see, this is the wisdom Umar, radiallahu anhu, he wasn't a doctor, but subhanAllah, he gave this decree, this ruling, and it's certainly backed up by the doctors and others. They see that.
But some diseases, Sheikh, will give a permanent impotence.
No.
Like long-standing diabetes, long-standing smoking, long-standing hypertension, not well controlled, will give a permanent impotence. So in these cases, where you know that there is no really cure for it.
Yes,
the wife can be patient and can take an action for that.
Yes.
What about if she comes to the judge and complains about this issue?
Right. In this case, she has the choice. She can keep patient, or she can raise the issue with a judge. The judge will give the husband 1 year, and then after 1 year, then the judge will make the decree. If he's able to have the relations during that 1 year, then they stay together. But if he's not able to have relations during the 1 year, then she has the right to be separated and marry somebody else. In that case.
What are the defects when you say defects?
Ibn al-Qayyim, yes, the defects.
Is it just physical or moral, or could be both?
No, the defects, Ibn al-Qayyim, he said, any defect that if someone had purchased a slave, and they found that defect, they could return the slave back to the owner. Any such defect. And we'll see, actually we're going to come to the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ, he married a woman, and she had a type of leprosy on her body. So he told her, go back to your family. You hid this from me. So even a type of skin disease, a leprosy, the Prophet ﷺ, he divorced her because of that disease. So the Ibn al-Qayyim, he says, any physical disease, any illness, or anything that prevents one spouse from enjoying the other. Because this is an important part of the marriage contract, that they are able to enjoy one, have the relations with one another. So any type, even if they have a chronic, one of the ulama mentioned, even a chronic bad breath that cannot be resolved by medicine, she has a right to raise this issue with a judge. No.
That was a new thing, because I never heard that Rasulullah said divorce somebody.
Yes, yes. Well, inshallah, we'll talk about it. There was a few different occasions. Yeah, there was another occasion. I'll just give you a preview. Where he married a woman, she was a young girl from a very high, famous family. So he married her, and then when he came to on the wedding night, she said, I seek refuge in the great, powerful one from you. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, you have sought refuge in the powerful one, go back to your family. So then it turned out, what some of the ulama, they say that some of the wives, they became jealous of this beautiful princess-type woman. So they told her, if you tell the Prophet ﷺ, I seek refuge from you, he'll like that. You think that, you know, it's a type of teasing or something like this. So they told her this to create some type of dissension between them. And so she was young and naive, she believed them. So she said this, أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْمُعَاذِ, I seek refuge in you from the one who was sought refuge in. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, you sought refuge in the Mighty One, go to your family. So he divorced her in that case. No.
Now this analogy that you said that Umar used about or Sheikh used about the buying the slave and having the contract, we can talk about it, and that can be a topic for ulama to talk or think about it as well, that how we can stretch the limits of knowing each other before you get married.
Yes.
Talking about dating and...
Okay, yes, this is a very good question. I'll try to answer it in a very short... But maybe we talked about it in the past also. The any defect that one of the two spouses has, they should make it known beforehand. Otherwise, that would give the other spouse the right to cancel it out. If somebody has an illness or a disease, then they should not hide that from the other person. This is something that should be. And there's a time where there's a questioning between one another. The important thing is to stay away from anything that could lead to zina. So the two people, they want to get to know each other, they shouldn't be alone in a room. They should always be the wali of the woman should be present. There shouldn't be anything that could lead them down the path towards a zina. That's what has to be avoided. But they can ask about one another, they can ask, you know, are they healthy physically? They can even take a health test if needed to make sure that they're compatible, especially cousins. They say first cousins, there's a type of sickle cell anemia that could affect the children. So they can take a health exam to make sure they're healthy. They can ask about one another. Typically, if I go to a woman or a woman asks the man directly, you know, they're not going to get the true picture. Because men usually they know how to praise the woman and deceive the woman. So this is why Allah has put the wali. The wali, the man, he knows other men better. The woman, she can be easily deceived. The man, he can say sweet words, he can wear nice clothes, and he can deceive the woman. But the wali, a man, he can judge other men better. So by asking a third party about the person, asking about their family, one can know more about the person. But speaking directly, this is why the ulama, they say that what they call the love marriage, actually you see in the West, the divorce is much higher. The rate of divorce is much higher. And typically they've lived together beforehand, they've had all the relations beforehand. Why is the divorce much higher? They say that love tends to blind people. So they don't see the defect in the other person. They think they're wonderful, they're in love. Then after the marriage, all of the defects start coming out. So the best way is to involve the wali, to involve the family. They research one another to make sure they're really compatible. religiously first, and then in terms of other things, and they should look at one another. Because in some cultures, the husband doesn't see the wife until the wedding night. But this is actually against the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. They should see one another to make sure that they're compatible with one another, inshallah ta'ala. Any other last question? Jazakallahu khairan wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi sallam wa alhamdulillah. Jazakallahu khairan.